Hello and welcome back to another episode of On Spec. I am your host, Ryan Barath. It's getting to that time of the calendar where we are approaching the end of this year. And with that in mind, there's no better time than now to look back at the year that was 2020. Now, obviously, in the grand scheme of things, it's been one hell of a year, right? But we're here to really focus on golf and golf equipment and get deep in the weeds. But what we saw, what we thought was really cool, and kind of, you know, discuss what we think the trends are going to be moving into 2021. Now, with that in mind, you know, there's a lot of new stuff that we're starting to see, right? We've seen the new Titleist drivers, fairway woods. We just last week, we saw the new Strixon ZX series from them as well. So there's a lot going on in the equipment space. And this year, again, is very different because for 2021, what would have been the PGA show that, you know, everyone gets really hyped for, everyone gets really excited for. I've been very excited to visit a number of times, will not be the traditional PGA show this year. So because of that, you know, I think we're going to see some very interesting things as far as launches go from OEMs. Timing has obviously been very different. We've seen a number of companies release things overseas and in different markets because the golf seasons are inherently seasonal depending on where you are. So things like the Ping G 425, which we don't have all the information on, but we know those clubs are out there. They're on the PGA Tour. And very interested to really get down into the nitty and gritty of that when we have the opportunity. That's just one example. But, you know, what's going to happen moving into the rest of the year? We're seeing a lot because people are buying online. We're seeing a lot more direct-to-consumer brands becoming extremely successful, which is actually really cool, you know. As far as small businesses go, they really are mom-and-pop shops, a lot of these companies. And I think, you know, because people assume it's a golf company and they see, you know, they see Instagram and they see social media and they see that they have a website, they assume there's this big team behind it, right? And a lot of times it's 2, 3, 4 people behind the scenes and that's it. Sometimes it's 2 or 3. And with that in mind, you know, there's a lot that goes into that. People put a lot of time and effort into building their companies. And I think that's really cool. And we're starting to see you know, how innovative these little companies can be because of the access to engineering and the access to manufacturing. And I think that's a really cool kind of side tangent story to everything else that's going on. And obviously from the big OEMs, we've seen drivers across the board perform very well. I know last year we said it was the year of the driver, and I think that was probably correct. We talked about it at the PGA show, you know, roundtable this past January, and how, you know, moving into this year, we're going to see a lot more scoring clubs be put front and center. And we've seen that from Cleveland. We've seen it from Titleist. We've seen it from Mizuno. We've seen it from basically TaylorMade is another one, right? Like Raw Faces, the T-Dub Wedges, everything. There's all kinds of stuff going on in there. So I'm really excited to pick the brain of someone else who's a complete gear nut like myself, with Johnny in just a minute. But before we get to talking with Johnny, I do want to mention, you know, we got things to talk about here. Golf Avenue, golfavenue.ca. They are one of the largest online marketplaces for purchasing used clubs. And one of the reasons why I love them is the fact that they use pictures to show what you're buying. There's nothing worse than getting a representational photo of something, looking at it, realizing, oh, it's actually way worse than I was really hoping for what I paid for it, and, you know, being disappointed in that. And you don't get that with Golf Avenue. You get pictures of everything you're buying. And right now, through golfwrx.com/golfavenue, you can get an additional value on your trade-ins. You know, we're getting close to the end of the year. So if you got old stuff kicking around, you got some stuff that, you know, you don't really want to go through the resale process and all those things and shipping things out to like people all over the place and not worrying about delays and all those kind of things. You can work with Golf Avenue. You can ship your clubs to them. And from there, they will take them. They will evaluate them. They'll give you value. And from there, you can purchase new clubs through them. And they have more than clubs. They have shoes. They got clothing. They've got accessories. They've got bags. And they've got new clubs too. So we're not just talking used. They kind of run the gamut as far as what you're going to find when it comes to shopping online for golf gear, including what I like to shop for, all the old, really cool, funky stuff. So remember, that's golfwrx.com/golfavenue for all of the information. And now I'm really excited to introduce my guest today, Johnny Wunder from Golf WRX, which we are part of, and the Gear Dive podcast. All right. So as I announced off the top, I'd like to welcome to the show Johnny Wunder from the Gear Dive. Johnny, what's up?
What's up, RB? How are you, buddy?
Doing all right. You know, ready to talk some 2020 gear. The rest of 2020 has been crap. So
yeah, we finally got the kids down to sleep so we could actually pull this off.
That's right. This is a late night recording. This is under the wire, folks. If people don't know, this is a show that we record just the day before.
Yeah, this is how it goes down.
Most people are familiar because I do talk, generally speaking. Robert Streb won this week. See, there you go. I could date it. I usually talk before the golf finishes up, or after golf finishes up, sorry. So yeah, you know, we're here and we're ready to talk some gear. That was an unintentional rhyme. So I think off the bat, Johnny, you know, what do you think would be if you had to pick one, or, you know, give us the top three, like drivers of 2020, that's the big stick everyone wants to talk about. Let's start there.
Well, you have to kind of siphon them off into different categories, you know, cause there's one that came in, obviously, just you and I both hit a month ago or a couple months ago, which is the Titleist, which we'll get to. So I'm gonna make that a 2021 driver, just for fairness sake. But you know, the drivers that I hit that I really liked, obviously Sim was the king, and for a couple different reasons. One, it was obviously very, very hot, but I was a big fan of the M5, and I felt like it did everything the M5 did, but it was just a little bit more forgiving and it sounded even better. So for me, like the moment I hit Sim and really got fit for it and found a combo that worked, when it worked, it really, really worked. And to be honest, I never really had any bad days with Sim where I was just hitting it all over the place. I always felt like I had pretty good control of the driver. So for me, it was kind of head and shoulders above everything else. I wasn't a big fan. You know, I hit some of the Callaway product. I liked how it sounded. I just didn't hit it very well. But I was a big fan of the Sim, really big fan of the Ping G410 LST, just cause it's so stable. You know, it's the closest thing that we had this year to point and shoot driver. You know, you just kind of line up and hit it and it just went straight. It wasn't as long as Sim. And then I guess the third driver that I hit that I really liked was that PXG prototype driver. Which
See,
I had
that's one I haven't hit actually. Yeah, that's interesting.
I had a chance to hit it at TXG, and it doesn't spin at all, like at all. And the reason I liked hitting it is because it was fun to hit. Like if you could get it up in the air, it went forever. The only problem is it doesn't spin. So like, you know, or Sim, if you catch one, you know, it'll spin a close to 2000, where the PXG, you know, you're talking, you get those 1700-1800 knuckleballs out there that, you know, hopefully get up in the air. And it was fun to hit and it looked really good. It wasn't anything I would ever stick in the bag, I don't think, but it's a good time, a fun time to hit. I really enjoyed hitting that driver.
Yeah. I had a Gen 2 that I hit for a little bit and I really liked that. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really good. Or no, it would have been Gen 2, Gen 3.
Gen 2.
Yeah. Gen 2. Mm-hmm. Cause then Proto was 3. Yeah. So, I really liked that thing. For me, I'm along the similar lines. Like I really liked the Sim. I thought for me, as someone who misses low, adds a lot of spin, it worked really well. You know, if I had to go number two, the other for me, and this is almost like an off the menu kind of thing. It's not really, obviously, but like Cobra. Cobra's, I always find it's like super underrated as far as their performance. I found it very close to the Ping, and Ping is my third as well. For me, the Cobra, I added a little extra weight to it. Played it at just a standard 45 inches, and I actually played a softer profile shaft. I've used anything from the Hazardous Smoke to Ventus Black, but I actually hit the Cobra Speed Zone with the Ventus Red, and there was something about it. It was nice and stable, and it was just something about that combo that worked really, really well. And again, I'm talking about me. This is
right.
It should be very specific. And because I don't do a lot of fittings, but I play golf with a lot of different people that talk gear, work gear. and have the opportunity to test stuff. And then of course I got stuff that I always bring, so my friends hit it as well. And yeah, for me, it would have to be Tim, the Cobra, because again, I just thought there was something about it that worked really well. It sounded really, I don't know, it sounded meaty. It's a dumb way to drive a driver, but it was like, worked really well. And then the Ping, because, you know, we talked to fitters during the WRX, like best driver series. And I, you know, as people will say, depending on who you're fitting, it might not be the longest if someone was like a spinnier player, like based on their dynamics. But if I had one driver to pull out of the drawer to fit every golfer, most fitters would say it would be the LS Tech 410, just because, you know, wherever you hit on the face, you're going to get performance out of it. And, you know, we'll get to it in a minute when we talk about 2021. We've seen images of it, but, you know, I think that what they're going to be doing with whatever they're coming out with the 425 is going to be very, very interesting. So we'll just go work our way through the bag here. I mean, that's what we do. Fairway woods, for me, again, I really like the Sim. It's my number one. And then from there, I'm trying to think, you know, I hit a lot of different stuff, but I'd always go back to that Sim. It's almost like it was unfair, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
He was head and shoulders above everything else because I was used to it, like a titanium fairway wood, something that was slightly bigger, something that had like just, again, for me, I want distance. I'm not someone who like Dustin Johnson, obviously. Well, there's a lot of reasons why I'm not like Dustin Johnson, but I'm not going to go, okay, well, you know, I hit the three wood a little too far. Maybe I need to add a little loft.
Yeah. I don't have that problem.
I want it to go as far as humanly possible. And I got that out of that golf club. The other thing for me that like still sits in my bag is like a 915 seven wood. You know,
it's a great club though.
I called it my Duffner club. I've made reference to it many times on the show because I was like, there's got to be something about this thing that people still use. I don't think JT had an FD 915 that he still kicks around. Yeah,
he's got a five wood with a speeder 9.2 in it. He's had for years. I mean, it's the one club that they can't get out of his bag.
I think it's like the Moto one, because there was like the FD three wood, and then they had the five wood. I got a friend who's got the five wood. He sent me a picture when he got it. He's like, "This is sick! I finally got the JT five wood." He's got a lot of ball speed, this guy, so kind of fits into that category. But you know, as far as fairways go, like it'd be hard for me to pick anything. I mean, I really liked the G410. I had one of those. Really liked it. Got fit for it. I found if you want height on a fairway wood, it was hard to beat. If you wanted higher launch with like a really nice stable spin, that thing was really, really, really good. So those actually, I just have a top two, to be honest, be the Sim and that Ping, because for a lot of players who need that, if you wanted a workable fairway wood, the third place would have to be the Cobra Pro.
Yeah.
Like little mini launcher. I remember hitting that down when we went to the launch event, testing it, and like, you know, bad lies, easy to hit, nice and small. You're not talking forgiveness here, but got ball speed, you got spin, you got stability as far as like control. But, you know, if you miss it, it's not going to go very well.
Well, it's interesting, like, because I'm sort of like you. Like, I want to hit my three wood. I don't want to hit my three wood. You know, it's got to go – it's got to carry 250. That's kind of my number. Like, off the ground, I got to be able to carry it 250. That's, like, for my gapping and – I was judged three woods based on that, like how good they are based on that number, like how easy is it for me to get it to 250? Cause that's just kind of the always stock length I've always hit everything. So, you know, Sim titanium was very, very easy, you know, like 15 or, you know, open it up to 14 and a quarter or whatever you do to jerry rig the head. And the first one I got had a DM on a BF 70 TX in it. And I hit it awesome. And the thing I liked about it was the more loft I added to it, the further I hit it. So, you know, I would start at 14 and get up to 15, even 15 and a half, turn the face, and all of a sudden the ball launch higher and go further. And I got to the point where it was actually getting too close to my driver because I was carrying this thing like 255, 260, which for me is a huge three wood. And the same thing happened with the five wood. I was just hitting it too far. So I loved that three wood, but I'd never quite made it into the bag. The Sim Max, however, was one that I really liked. It spun. I liked it because it still went my number, but it spun and it was really, really easy to hit. So that would be my number one fairway of the year was the Sim Max. I love that thing. The second one would be, if we're talking about threes and five woods, the Cobra Speed Zone five wood was awesome. I was not a big fan of the F9 five wood. They were very, very hard to hit. You seem to always hit them thin. And the Speed Zone, I learned that they took like a millimeter and a half, I think was the measurements that they added to the bottom to the leading edge. So the ball would, the leading edge would get in under the ball and into the ground. And just that little tweak made their new fairwoods so much, their tour fairwoods so much easier to hit. So I really, really love that five wood. And then I guess the third one, I never really hit a lot of Ping G for it. I never really hit a lot of Ping product, to be honest, like very rarely. I hit LST a lot, but I'd say the third fairwood that I really, really liked, I don't have one, to be honest.
Just the top two.
This is the top two. It was Sim Max and the Cobra Speed Zone, and they're both in my bag. That's my three wood and my five wood, so that's like pretty easy.
I've got the I've got a Speed Zone Big Tour, and
that, good golf club.
Yeah, that is actually, so again, it's not like the go to gamer, just because it's a club that mostly really is a fair, like an off the tee club. Mm-hmm. You can hit it off the fairway, but you're just going to generally spin it a little bit more based on its size and everything, at least for me. And so I have one of those, and it's in my half set bag. So it's just like my driver fairwood club, in my like half set. I like to carry that thing around because it's just got this big profile, really easy to hit. And I played it like 44 inches. So it's basically I just try and aim down the right side and try and hit a draw with it off the tee. And it's pretty insane how good it is. So, you know, if someone's looking for that, I always say like those big tour fairy woods for someone who wants is a tee ball player with their fairy woods. That's a really good one too.
I'm always in this weird battle ever since I started this gig, you know, almost 3 years ago, is, you know, we get access to a lot of stuff. We get to try a lot of stuff, and you can get lost. Your game can get lost in the club shuffle, right? Where it's like, I'm going to try this, I'm going to try that, I'm going to do that. And now it's like I'm starting to judge the clubs I'm hitting with a different eyeballs. Like, can they stay in the bag for 3 years? Like, is the three wood that good? Right? I know it so well and I like it so much that it's just going to stay there for a long time until I wear it out. And for example, like the Sim Max three wood that I have and the Cobra five wood that I have in my bag right now, like, even if stuff gets, you know, put out and we see new stuff, like my eyes aren't looking there anymore. Like I don't even, you see them, it's like, oh, that's cool. But I'm not super interested in digging into it because I like what I have. I like what I have so much.
I'm like that with wedges.
We'll get to wedges. We'll get to wedges.
I'm with you. I definitely went through about a month where I was like, because everything had kind of come in and I had the opportunity to test and I was building a lot of stuff. And I was just like, I haven't played a round of golf where like I had the same setup. I basically played the same irons most of the year. I would have rounds where I'd like pick and choose different sets, but, that wasn't the effect. It would like, oh, different driver shaft, different loft setting. And I would be like, I'm messing myself up here. Like just because I have the opportunity to test and, you know, stuff works really well and it all does really well. I think that's the thing that a lot of people, I try and convey a lot of times is, you know, if you're focused on a certain club from a certain brand and you are more maybe brand specific, you can get fit into something that's going to work very, very well. Now, if you go the agnostic route, you know, you might pick and choose clubs across your set that might, you know, might find slight performance variances that are going to be better for your swing. But in that case, you know, when you're going around and you're picking and choosing, you're flying around and you kind of, especially like myself, because I can put things together as far as shafts and heads and grips and bend and all this other stuff, it's a deep rabbit hole that I sometimes try and avoid.
If I had your workshop, it would be bad news for me. It'd be really bad news just because nothing would really ever get its day in court. You know, it'd be pulled apart before I even got on the golf course.
Yeah, I mean, there was a driver I had that I tried a heavier shaft just to see what would happen in one of my drivers, and I literally hit it three times on the course, and I was like, well, that's going to get pulled tonight, because I knew what I expected to get from this golf shaft, and I didn't get it right away, and it was because of the weight. It wasn't because of any other factor. It just was, like, it was much heavier than I was used to, and it just, I missed right, and I was like, that's gone. That was a fun experiment.
do you know what's funny though? Also, is what I've learned about myself is like, I get a really, I mean, maybe this is all golfers, but like, I don't, if I hit a golf club out of the middle of the face every time, or like 9 out of 10 times, I don't care what the numbers are. Because if I know I can hit it out of the middle, I can get it to go as far as I need it to go. Because I have, you know, I'll start swinging harder to get it to go. And I've realized like little by little, the clubs that are in my bag right now are all clubs I hit out of the middle, constantly out of the middle. And I've had some cool stuff come through this door. And it's like, I just don't hit them very well. So it's like, you look at them like, oh, that's cool. It looks cool in the bag, but I don't hit it good. So it's gone.
So I actually can't even contribute to this category because the only hybrid that I've really had any experience with, other than I did get, I did go through a fitting earlier this year for like the Ping G410, which I really like because you can flatten it. So from a fitting perspective, I know that thing is wicked. So That kind of is like maybe that would be the one that I've had a lot of experience with. But for, as far as hybrids go, I can't really pick one. I know, again, there's a lot of good stuff out there. I know we've talked a lot about the Sim this year, but it's not a club that I can really speak to. Is there one that you've had that you really like, or just kind of, I like the High Loft at Fairwoods for me. It's just something that works really well. So I've never really gone that route.
There is the Cobra Speed Zone hybrid. Now I have to preface this by saying, the one that I was sent was built in the tour cage. It was for some videos that we were doing, and you know, sometimes when you do content for you know, specific, you know, if we do something with Cobra and we want to help tell their story, whatever, you know, they send you stuff, and usually it's in your spec, and they sent some clubs over from the tour department, made them, and I, you know, the whole point to the experiment was to see if I could find a hybrid, and I hate hybrids, I can't stand them. I'm like, can I find one that plays like my 4-iron? So it's like a true 4-iron replacement. So they made this Speed Zone 21 degree, which is like a 3-iron, but they cut it down to like 38 and a half or 38 3/4. And they swing, I mean, I don't know what they put in the head, or they put some Aerotech shaft in there. And I can't not hit this thing out of the middle of the face. It doesn't matter where I'm hitting it off. I get hit off a piece of concrete or
this is why fitters matter, people. This is why we have this.
It was, well, it's builders too. Like, I don't know who put this club together, but I want that person to put every club together for me because I cannot miss the middle of the face on this thing. And if you hit it, I can hit it 225 with no spin. I can hit it 210 with 4,000 RPMs of spin. I can hit it low. I can hit it high. I can do it anything I want with this golf club. So that to me is like, of all the hybrids I hit, and I hit Sim Max in a 22 and I liked it, but this Cobra that they made, it may never leave the bag. Like, it may be maybe my 4-iron forever. I don't know. It's so good. And I've played with it. I played when I was in California in the desert. You know, I took it out on the golf course about 5 or 6 times during rounds, and probably had, you know, 8 or 9 shots with it on the course into par fives or longer par threes. And just never missed a shot. Like, it was like point and shoot, boom, out of the middle. If I needed to carry it 220, it carried 220. If I needed to, you know, kind of masse it in there and hit it 195, it went 195. Like, the variance on this thing is just, it's so versatile. And I don't know, like, that one to me is, that's maybe the best hybrid ever made. I don't know what they did to this thing. It's that good.
That's like me in the seven wood I got, because called up a friend of mine, used to, because people know I've worked for Titleist, I worked for Mizuno back in the day, called up a friend of Titleist, I'm like, do you happen to have any, it's an old club I got kicking around, I'm looking for some weights for this thing, you have any? He goes, yeah, I actually have a couple like heavier ones, just like they're in a toolbox somewhere.
Right.
So ended up getting them off them, threw a little extra weight in this thing, played a little shorter, and that's my 7-wood. I don't need to keep bringing that one up, but it's a great club. Hit a draw and hit it like, again, 225 would be a really nice shot, nice and high with that thing off, you know, getting it up there, and then, you know, I'll hit it 195 at a crappy lie. Mm-hmm. And that's, yeah, I think that's what the versatility, where it comes to the gapping in the bag there, is so important for so many people. And I think when golfers, a lot of times they go to a launch monitor and they just, I'm not saying they're looking for just distance, but they're looking as far as gapping goes, is just like full swing, full swing, full swing. But what do you really get out of it, right? Do you get the trajectory control that you want? I think a lot of people overlook that.
Well, it's so easy. Like this is, I mean, I have to ask myself like an honest question. It's like, do I hit the new clubs better than I hit the old clubs? I don't. And you know, the old, when I used to buy a set, when I was playing a lot of golf and I was a good player, you know, I was like a plus one, plus two handicap or whatever, consistently for a long time. But when I get a set of clubs, I would just go on the website or whatever, or go on the catalog when the rep would be around, and I would order my, I just knew my specs and I would order my clubs. It wasn't like I got fit. I just knew my specs and whatever. And this, the clubs would come and I would just make them work. You know, it's like I'd start to hit them and figure out how to hit them solid. And once I figured out how to hit them solid, those are my golf clubs. And I play them for a year, wear them out, and get a new set the next year. I don't hit golf clubs like as well as I used to. Maybe it's because I don't practice as much and I don't have enough time to get used to them, but you know, like for example, like your 7 wood, I used to like, you know, back in the day when I'd get a good 3 wood, I liked it because I could hit it 270 if I needed to, and I could hit it 220 if I needed to. Like it became 4 or 5 clubs in one. And
Yeah.
now I don't get that experience because I just don't have one. I don't have time, and TrackMan sort of doesn't care about that
No.
anymore. It's like go, 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 go. And I feel like, you know, building 4 or 5 clubs into one gets lost in the shuffle. Like I want to have 50 clubs in my bag. I don't want just 14.
Well,
Right?
if we're gonna talk more clubs in the bag, that's got to be irons next. And you know, I think I don't want to say we can break it up into two different categories because you know there are the game improvement style and there is the you know the blades and those kind of things. But I don't want to pick and choose categories here. We've done that on Golf Directs. We've done these big profile pieces on different categories. I want to know yours. I think to me you're going to get, I think there's going to be a lot of variety regardless of that because we're talking tech, we're talking looks, we're talking all these different things. So if you had to pick the three irons that are your personal favorite for 2020, what would they be? And I mean, obviously that includes like, you know, some 2019 stuff that would have been later that would be considered current. But basically anything that's current as of now, do you have one or have that top three?
Yes, I do. These are the ones I've actually hit, had lots of time with. So my first and foremost, the Gen 3 PXG Gen 3 tees, which I hit in Scottsdale, and I had a set for about a month and then had to give them to our boss. Our boss took them away.
I think BK's got
And
them.
BK has them, somebody has them. I don't know. They got commandeered, but those were the best irons I hit all year. As far as like forgiveness, looks, what you could do with them, the whole package. They're really easy to hit. They're a, you know, not a pure blade, but right between a player's cavity back and a muscle back,
They're really good
and
looking.
they're
They're
just
so
good.
good.
They're really, really good clubs. And you know, to the point where I could play that set 4 through pitching wedge, no problem, and not, you know, not look for like a chunkier 4 iron or whatever. Like those are phenomenal. Second iron, which is a really close second, would be the T100 for the same reason. Super easy to hit, really good on thin shots. They get through the turf great. They look good. They don't look perfect, but they're just a player's iron. Like you just get them. Like I could hit this whole set. Like I could hit 4 through pitching wedge and this be totally okay. And I really, really enjoyed hitting those irons. Those ones went to BK. The set of T100s I have, those got siphoned off to BK.
I know the thing is, I've talked to BK about that a lot because I always joke with him like he switches so much, but he's stuck with that set almost all year.
I hope so, because it's a mint set. It's a U500 4 iron, a T200 5 iron, and then 6 through pitching wedge and the T100. No, actually 6 through 9 and T100, and then a Vokey pitching wedge. It's awesome
It's
set. It's
everything.
total. It's a total combo set. Yeah, he took those out of my hands. And then the third would be, you know, I don't hit Mizunos very well. I don't hit Ping irons very well. I wish I could, but I just don't. The third set that I really enjoyed hitting. This is easy. The Tiger Blades.
Yeah,
The
that's right.
Tiger, for sure. Like, so I had a chance to hit some short irons, 8, 9, and pitching wedge, and bent them, you know, strong. You know, took some of the loft off of them. So, you know, like, for example, like the pitching wedge went from 43 to 41 or whatever. And if you can get those bent around and, you know, sort of like almost like modern spec in the Tiger Blade, those things get through the turf better than anything I've ever seen. Like the Tiger Blade with a little bit of offset and very little bounce for me, I never hit them thin. I always get into the turf. Like, they fly, like, you know, flat with a ton of spin. I've never hit the, you know, anything longer than an 8-iron with them. But that would be my third favorite set, just because of what the 8-9 wedge could do if you had a set of them. Like, they feel so good. And they say P7TW on them. I mean, the curb appeal on those things is just, like, ridiculous. Yeah. Those are my top three.
Yeah. For me, it's like the first one has to be the T100. Mm-hmm. Having hit that and gone through the fitting process, a TPI with those guys. And it's not just because of that. Like, it's because of the iron. Like, I'm someone who used to play AP2s, played a lot of different Titleist irons back in the day, 990s. And what was the other one? I think it was 714 CBs I had as well.
Those are good. Yeah.
Really good. And like, the look of the T100, when you look at that golf club, is tiny. And I don't think people realize how small that club actually looks at address, because people are used to that. They really took what was supposed to be the AP2 for a long period of time and tweaked it to make it small. Like, it looks like the CB, but it's packed with way more forgiveness. Is it G410 level forgiveness? No. And I make that very clear when I talk to people about it, is because if you're a better player and you want stability on those heel and toe misses, or even up and up and down on the face, that thing is insane. It's so good.
Another thing, I got to chime in here really quick, because I'm just kind of found something out. And this is a combination of talking to, like, Ian Frazier and Brian LaRoche, some of the fitter buddies that I know, and some of these tour guys. For better players, like, forgiveness takes on such a weird meaning for people that are, like, you know, pretty consistent ball strikers. So for example, like you and I, Brath, like, if we're looking for forgiveness, you know, we would think, well, we're going to go get something chunky, right? Something big in the 4 and 5 iron. Where if you talk to some of the tour reps, when players are, the first thing that they look at when their player's looking for a little help is they want to find something that they know will get to the turf. So the first thing they'll do is knock bounce down. Cause they're like, if you're looking for help, let's get the club into the turf too and see if that actually straightens you out. Because if you have proper turf interaction, that can make even a bladed 4-iron very forgiving. Cause it just, you know, you're presenting the middle of the club face to the ball consistently. And I've always found whenever I try to go on the chunky side, like a 4 or 5 iron, I actually start hitting them like crap, because I start making like a driver swing to get them in the air. It's almost like you're constantly hitting drivers off the deck.
Yeah. And, you know, it's that soul. Like, it has a big, like,
I can't do it.
To your point, I've had a discussion with a lot of good players, and you know, a lot of players, better players, not all of them, and this is a generalization, but for players that are shallower, mm-hmm. You know, you'd think that, okay, I will go to something that offers a little more height, a little more spin, but if you get into that wider sole and they're a better player, they don't need that necessarily, depending on the turf that they play in and the rest of their dynamics into impact. And they're like, yeah, you know, I may hit, like, I don't know, we'll say the I-500, right? Or right. Apex. I've heard players mention the Apex as well. And these are very forgiving, very fast golf clubs. There's nothing against these golf clubs. But when people look at them, they say, you know, I really like it, but I find that I almost feel like I struggle with them as I get into the longer clubs, or I get into the shorter clubs and I'm trying to hit touch shots. And it's because of that sole plays such a vital factor in the fitting process. And that's what I love about the T100, because it's small, got a lot of camber front to back, so it gets through the turf really nicely. It works for a lot of different players because of that, both steep and shallower players. And that's why for me, it's like it'd be a go-to. If I was a fitter and someone came in and they were like a decent ball striker, that's gonna be the one I start with every single time because of that design.
Well, yeah, because I know they can hit the 4-iron 5-iron relatively well. Like, when I get, like, for example, if you're going to take the Strixons and you get into the Z565 or 585, whatever that the old one is, the more forgiving version of the, like, I had a couple of those in a set that I had for like a year and a half, and I never hit the 4 and 5 iron well as I should, because they're forgiving and you think they'd just be point and shoot. And the reason I realized is there's just not enough room for me to get into the ground. Like, it's just, I've never had it, you know, unless I completely chopped down on it, the club just didn't want to interact with the turf at all. Like, if I either had to clip it perfectly to get you know, maximum performance out of it. And what I found is whenever I get to the 6, 7, 8, 9, which is with the bladier part, I could, you know, I hit everything out of the middle and I'd interact with the turf perfectly. I'm like, why can't I hit the 4 and 5 iron? A lot of it had to do with the sole. I just the club wasn't getting in the ground. Had no chance.
It's a big factor. And I think that's what, like, you know, companies, like we're both Instagram guys, like National Custom, right? Mm-hmm. Like his whole thing is like sole fitting, right? And like making sure that players have the right profile, the right bounce and all that stuff, because, you know, they're talking about blades and everything. But there is, I think it's one of those things that people don't necessarily take into account too much when they're thinking about it. Because if you talk about higher handicappers, a lot of players are generally steeper.
Right.
Because if they're swinging, they're over the top. Either they're over the top and shallow, or they're over the top and they just dig. There's not a lot of middle ground there for a lot of players. So because of that, that's why those clubs work so well. And that's where you get into something like a T300. Because I have that, speaking of combo sets, I've got a 5 iron in that set. And that thing just goes, takes off like crazy. But if I had to pick those, my top three would be for just all around, it's got to be the T100 very easily. I'm a Mizuno guy. I love the MP20 MMC. It's slightly bigger. It's got a little wider sole. That's why I like it. If I had the option to to do it over again or think about something else, I'd probably do a combo set with the blades, because the blades are a little smaller and more compact. But I love that set overall throughout the bag. You know, it's hard. Like the new, see, I want to say the new TaylorMade stuff because it's the, but even then, like so I would say the 790. I would just say the 790 because the 790 is so damn good. And for how good, I mean, even if we talk about the old one, like how good that golf club is, how many times they fit into it, and like what it has done for them as a company when it comes to irons fitting different players, as well as what it does for players who are in that kind of middle zone, who don't want the really chunky one, although it is a bigger golf club, but also want something that, you know, looks cool and, you know, performs really, really well.
That's what, do you know what ruined the 790 for me? The 770.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I didn't mention it, 'cause I'm like, I know it's got, there's, now this one exists, and now the 790 is just like, it's like a great iron. You're right, it's a phenomenal iron. But if once you've had a chance to hit the 770, you're like, 790, who?
I know, it is. It's one of those things, especially because we're talking about a player in specific categories, right? Like,
right.
I prefer a much smaller golf club. I know you like a big, like a combo set, but you prefer smaller. Mm-hmm. And I just think of that as like the one that, you know, again, someone kind of like the LS Tech. Someone came in and they're like, I just want an iron. I want to be forgiving. I don't really care too much about how it looks. No, I shoot around 85. Could be 90 one day. Could be a little better, but like I need that help. That's the one I think a lot of people are going to go to. Just like the T100 is, you know, the better one, I think the 790 is the other option. Dark horse would be, and this is a set that I've had, and this is I've got some friends, who were able to, you know, I of all the clubs that I really wanted and I went out and got was there's a set of A grind irons. You know, I've seen them. They're They got a ton of camber on them. They're really small. It's like this forged combo set. I freaking love them. They're so cool. I know it's like one of those ones that, you know, they don't get a lot of love, and we don't talk a lot of JDM stuff. And I haven't really played a lot of JDM. So I saw these things and I was like, this is insane. And it's just kind of, yeah, got to throw it out to the dark horse. I think they're just a really cool set of clubs, and they're sharp. Like, and they have that JDM look. They're really compact. They have a nice thin top line. But the sole on that thing just works. And it kind of has a little bit of this heel-toe relief Strixon-ish thing going on. Not quite to that extent that Strixon gets that, like, really deep in that kind of relief. But it's one heck of a good-looking golf club.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, you say that, like, my dark horse would be, and it's a man I've known for 25 years. First set of golf clubs I ever had was from a guy named Jay Turner at a company called Redbird in Seattle, which is now Avion, who make forged, you know, really beautiful forgings. They would be my dark horse. I actually have a set. Before I even started working at WRX, he sent me he always sends me stuff, like has for years, but sent me a set of these Avion, like this combo set Avion. And let me see if I have it here. Hold on one second.
The other thing too that I'd said off the top before, like, you know, before we got here and started talking, when I talk about intro or talk about stuff that trends that have really taken off this year, obviously, like, there's combo sets, and we've talked about for a long period of time, but direct to consumer, right? Yeah. And we see companies like New Level and like their 902. There's a lot of talk about that iron on the Golf Direct forums because it's a great looking mid to smaller size. That's a good looking golf club right
there. That's a really good looking golf club. These are good. I don't know why I don't play these. These are actually really good. Need some new grips, but yeah, that's good.
Live anyway. From Johnny Wonder's garage here. We are currently browsing golf clubs. I know this is a visual or an audio platform, but we're looking at visuals. So you can go, I'm sure you can find those online and on Instagram.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Yeah. And then again, when people are talking about, you know, the ability to buy golf clubs, you know, when you're not able to go see a fitter, and that was a big thing for a lot of this year. And I know a lot of people dealing with certain situations and all kinds of other stuff, but being able to buy online and Ping introduced their online fitting tool where you can literally sit and talk to a fitter, look at TrackMan numbers. That's unbelievable from an OEM level. Right. I know a lot of companies are willing to talk to consumers and go through the fitting process when they're looking at different stuff.
PXG's doing it too.
PXG's got it. I mentioned earlier, New Level, they do an online fitting program. I think we're going to see this. I think we're going to see more of this. Talking trends. Talking in just a second. But before we get to trends of 2021, last but not least, because we're going to talk swing club. I don't want to get into putters. We can go down. It's a rabbit hole. Yeah. It's something we don't really, we'll get to, we'll talk about it later today. Anyway.
Yeah.
So wedges.
That's easy.
If I'm going to start with wedges, it's really easy. It's going to be the Clevelands because they're so good.
They're so good.
The Vokey. Uh-huh. Also, so darn good. And then last but not least, I know it sounds like I'm rifling off like my top picks, but I think the Jaws wedge, and it is, I love the TaylorMade stuff. It's a toss up. It's really a coin flip, but for me, it's the Jaws raw wedges.
Yeah.
I really like those things just because they have the all raw. And, you know, I think maybe we'll see more companies releasing fully raw golf clubs coming forward. But those would be the top three for 2021. I'll get to that in a second. It's an easy list to go to because I just know what those things are.
Your list is identical to mine. For me, it's the Tour Rack Cleveland.
They're insane. RTX. I think they're going to kill it again.
They're so good, and because they remind me of the clubs especially in the 56 and the 60. The shape reminds me of a club I played for 20 years. Like it looks just like the old Roger Cleveland 588 with just a little bit of, you know, if you turn it over, it's got a special, you know, you can get special grinds to them in this, but it's the best looking 52 degree wedge I've ever seen in my life. it looks so good. Like I don't know what they did, but they really, you guys get a chance to see the Tour Rack series, which is the all raw offering for the new Cleveland wedges. They're really good. And then obviously the SM8, the Vokey's a Vokey. Like you can't, they're always going to be there. And then I'm like with you, like to me, I guess it would be number one clear winner. And then there's like 2A and 2B, and 2B would be the Jaws. Especially when you get into, I wasn't a huge fan of their lower lofted wedges. Like their 40, their pitching wedge is a little small. I don't like the shape of their pitching wedge. I don't really like the shape of like their 50 degree wedge, but once you get into 52, 56, like, and they're 58 and 60s, like their 58T and 60T. The C grinds are really good looking wedges. The X grinds are cool.
I was going to say X grind. Yeah.
Yeah. They did a really good job. And I've had a chance to mess around with the Jaws wedges quite a bit over the last year. I enjoy them. They spin like a mother and they feel good. They get through the turf. I don't have anything bad to say about Callaway wedges. They've always made great wedges. Your three are my three.
Well, there we go, folks. Got a consensus here. So we talked 2020. We're getting into launch season. Obviously, PGA Show is not taking place in its traditional form this year, which again, I mentioned at the top, something that you weren't aware of at the onset of our conversation. I tell the audience what's going on. That's what we do here. So because of all these things going on, launch is going to be a little different. We're going to see a lot of different stuff from companies. We're excited to be able to share when we can share, when we get more information on all kinds of other stuff. Because, you know, they hold the hose tight and then we get all the information at once. But going into 2021, if you just put a bag together, give me like your top golf clubs really quickly. what you think is going to be, and then is there any trend that you think, or even let's just talk trends. What do you think is going to be the biggest trend of 2021?
Stability. I think all these fast drivers that, you know, and it's the Titleist driver sparked that off to me, because what Titleist was able to do, and hopefully people on this, you know, listening to this podcast will go out and be able to try the new Titleist driver, especially the TSI 3. It's fast and stable. So if I was going to take Sim and Ping G410 LST and take what both those drivers do well and make them into one driver, that is the new Titleist driver for me. And I always, there's never, besides since 975D, there was always something off with Titleist drivers for me. There's always something I was like, I like it, but you know, it's not quite as good.
Yeah.
And what I've found, and you got fit and I got fit, I never miss the middle of this driver. I can swing as hard as I want. I have no fear of it going way offline. That's a driver I'm very, so to answer your question, stability is going to be the key. I think the new, you know, whatever TaylorMade has up his sleeve is going to be stability based, trying to stabilize the head. Ping's drivers are always stable, so that's the G425 is going to be stable, you know, guaranteed. It might be a couple ticks faster. I have no idea what Callaway's up to. I've seen some of the pictures of what they're coming out with, and I'm still haven't been able to wrap my head around it, but we're supposed to hear more about that here pretty soon. You know, I've seen the TaylorMade one. I'm not going to say anything. You got to come in your way. You'll see it. It's very interesting. But yeah, that's, I think everybody's just trying to stabilize the face. You have to. I think people are realizing that as fast as these drivers are getting, if you don't hit it out of the middle of the face, man, it doesn't matter. And you got to be able to control it. So it's a combination of stability, spin, and distance. So that's the trend. And I think you're going to see a lot more combo sets. I think most of these OEMs, when they're building irons, are going to start to be able to combo every single offering they have, is to be able to a complete 7 or 8 iron set that, you know, services top of the bag. You know, your 4 or 5 irons aren't going to look exactly like your 9 and your wedges. They're going to look different, and they're all going to have a different job. And I think that's important. So that's what I think.
Yeah, I mean,
could be wrong.
I follow very much along the lines of the stability, and we've already seen this year. And beyond fitting and like more remote fitting, which I think we'll see because of, you know, the nature of what's going on in this world, and people want stuff faster. People don't always have the time. I know we've seen it a lot recently. We're like, when you have a good fitter who understands TrackMan and understands launch monitor numbers and can look at a player's swing and can look at the options that are available to them, I think we're going to see more of that. I still believe 100% there's going to be people involved. I don't think there's just like some algorithm you can plug into it. I don't think,
no,
just because of the way the system works and the way players are and everything else, and understanding feel and talking to the player and getting that interview is so important. But from there, the ability to, your point, is not just create something that's long, but create something that is consistent, because we've seen it across the board. And to our friends at TXG, you've already mentioned, one of the things that they mention all the time, which I think is so important, and this is what I love about their videos as far as educating golfers beyond what I think anyone else does on the internet, and what we try and do at Golf Direx as well, which is why we love working with those guys and talking with them, is the fact that they talk about standard deviation as far as ball speed and spin and dispersion. Maybe I'm trying to think, that's not necessarily a big one, but, well, dispersion is obviously important, but we talk about like spin and ball speed and launch angle. And the tighter you get that, more around the golf club and any golf club, have it be irons, fairways, or drivers, even wedges. And that's the big thing. So for me, we're seeing more wedge tech now. I think we're going to continue to see more of it because it's so important, because people are hitting more wedges. Because I have like the ES wedges from Mizuno. You know, if you would have shown that to me years ago, I said, that's really ugly. I don't even think, I think it looks awesome. I think it looks beautiful. Like, it's smaller than other high toe wedges on the market. It's not even close to that profile. And right. I have found already through testing that I get more consistent spin. I get high spin more often. And that was something that I struggled with my other wedges. And because I could spin them really well, that was not the issue. The issue is being able to do it more often, because it hit a low spinner, and once in a while I hit the front of the green, it kind of more rolled a lot longer and a lot further away than I thought from a good clean line. I thought, you know what, look at the face, see where I hit it, and see that was an issue. So we're bringing that more into the bag. And to your point, I think it's not about distance. And I don't think, you don't even hear companies talk about distance anymore. It's not about that. You know, it's not the early 2000s where it's 15 yards longer and someone's yelling.
Yeah.
It's not that. You're not going to get that. It's impossible. But it's about taking a car. There you go. First car analogy of the day, folks. Radio reports. And horsepower in a vehicle is not useful if you don't have everything else working with it. You can have an engine in a car and you can't transfer the power properly. It's not going to work. It doesn't matter. And I liken it to, you know, there's two cars that can get to six. Like every driver is like a different car. They can all get to 100 miles an hour. How do they get there? You know, someone's going to take 15 seconds. Someone's going to take 5 seconds or whatever. Right. And so how that works for you and your golf game is so important. And that's where I think we're going to continue to see this go, because it's about, I use the suit analogy all the time. It's about getting fit for your suit, right? You can go off the rack and you can find really good stuff. You can go find older stuff. You're going to find really good stuff. But when you go out, you get that custom fitting experience and you put that suit on, you're like, oh damn, I look good. And it's the same with your golf game, because you're going to go out there and you're going to say, this works for me because it was built for me and fit for me. And when people ask what's the best, obviously we just made our list. This is our own list. It's subjective, obviously, but you're going to have your own list.
So, right. Well, you also got to,
it's so important.
You also got to pay attention to, like, you know, I say this on my show all the time. Like, you got 14 slots in that bag and they all have a job to do. So you had to be very, very discerning about who's going to earn a spot on that team. And it's not as simple as like, well, I just went to TaylorMade and got fit for 14 TaylorMade clubs or Titleist or whatever the OEM is. Like, you have to be selective. Like, you want to know what a real bag looks like. Somebody that's like picking a golf course, go like look at Bernhard Langer's bag. Like, it's a mess, but that guy will eat your lunch for you because he knows exactly what they do. And if you talk to any of these old players, any of these great players, and I learned more from, you know, watching the Champions Tour guys or the LPGA players about how they put together a bag for me personally with my game, because it's built around strategy and built around, you know, trying to optimize yourself where you can. And like, you know, I want 14 clubs one with 13 clubs. We're just talking, I want 13 clubs at one. I know I hit out of the middle no matter what. And that's a big swing, you know, not only a proper build, proper fit, but also proper swing weight. The whole thing comes together. The club is in harmony with your body and how you
swing.
That's
my world, Johnny.
Yeah. But that's a big deal. Because I think you could get fit for the perfect set of clubs and they could be built and sent to you. And all of a sudden you're like, well, these aren't quite right. Like, I just don't hit them very well. A lot of that could be swing weight issues. They're just not matched up to you. And it's very, very important. Like, and I learned that. I didn't really think about that until I started working at WRX and I started hitting a bunch of stuff. I'm like, oh wow, I see how players get screwed up. Like, because you get all this cool stuff and you get all this information. You're like, well, is any of this stuff actually work for me? Like, how do I make this work for me? And that's why you got to find a fitter. And I think you find one fitter, you know, one single point of reference that you can use and bounce questions off of. And that's, you know, once you get fit by that one guy and it all works out, then you don't need to go anywhere else.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's your guy. That's your history teacher. It's just, everything you need to know is in that little hitting bay right there. And if it's a guy like Ian Frazier, great. If it's not, you know, find that one guy that's going to get you dialed, and that the numbers that you get from that fitting for the golf clubs that they got for you, that worked for you on the golf course all summer, that is your reference point. That is your new home base. So yeah. Don't go to Arizona and don't go to California and some flashy fitter and go and say, well, this guy said this, and all of a sudden I end up with a set of Miuras. It's like, nope, you got to go back to that original guy that built you the right set of golf clubs the first time. This is through pure experience, because I've really screwed myself up.
Well,
so anyway,
great advice. I want to say thank you very much for coming on the show tonight. Mm-hmm. Before we leave here, plug the Instagram and the show, the podcast.
At Johnny_Wonder. And the podcast is The Gear Dive. It's on Golf WRX, just like Ryan's show. And you see, last week we had, who was my guest last week? Last week we had Keith Spabarbaro from TaylorMade. And this week we have Adrian Rietveld and somebody else. It's kind of my last show, actually, of the year. I'm going to start going to do some looking back shows, I think, the rest of the year, but I'm going to do one more recorded show and then wrap it up. Just to pick some golden oldies for the rest of the holidays.
Nice.
So yeah, That's my plan anyway. I don't know if that ox would go down that way, but that's my plan.
Well, there you go. You heard it here first, folks. And remember, you can follow along at RDS Barath on Twitter and Instagram. We'll do a question answered coming this week. I know we missed it. If you're still listening to this point, yes, hopefully you are. I know we didn't get to one this week, but we will get to one this coming week, as well as OnSpecWRX on Instagram as well. So again, I want to say thanks to my coworker, my fellow podcaster, Johnny Wonder, for joining the show. And as always, everybody, thanks for listening.